When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good to see you this morning.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, you too.
Dude,
you too, brother.
It's my favorite morning.
Me too. I wake up excited every Tuesday.
Man, we've got some beautiful weather here in the studio. It's going to be a great day.
It was downright cold this morning.
I'm telling you.
I mean, for Mississippi, you know, it's like mid-50s or something this morning when we woke up. And I was, I had to put on my robe, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Dude, robe in the pipe?
Yeah, it was pretty solid.
Now all you need is like the lounge chair. And then, like, little Timmy to come up, like, let me tell you about life, little Timmy.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. I have to invest in an ascot at some point.
Well, hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, let me tell you about this show. This is Country Squire Radio. This is all about pipe tobacco, pipe enthusiasts coming together and really enjoying the hobby, but also reaching out to others within the pipe enthusiast community. I mean, we'll have guys who
right.
Live interesting lives or have really amazing accomplishments from time to time and also happen to be big pipe smokers. Just kind of, have that conversation, see how they got into pipe smoking, and then just kind of discover a little bit more about what they've got going on in
their
life.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's such a great thing because there's some, you know, pipe smoking attracts just a wide variety of very interesting people. You tend to be a little more thoughtful when you smoke a pipe. At least I'd like to think that about myself. And, you know, there's just a lot of really interesting folks that out there that smoke pipes. So.
Absolutely. And of course, with the tobacconist that JD is, this is also a show to come to for best practices, learning more. Today is going to be a huge, huge show.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Dude, we're doing the history of pipe smoking.
Yep.
So I should just call you the professor today because yeah. there's about to be an awesome lesson plan laid out before us. So let's just jump in, man. We've got, so the history of pipe smoking.
Dude, I'm thrilled, you know, because I'm a nerd anyway. We tend to nerd out on the show a lot, regardless. but anyway, being at the Country Squire, I was a history major in college and, you know, did some really interesting research on, you know, my area of focus was typically, Western Europe and Great Britain, Renaissance Reformation. But it's interesting because now, I never use that degree except for when I smoke my pipe and talk at my store.
Right.
But it's a lot of fun. You can't really talk about pipe smoking without really just generally kind of entering the world of tobacco in general. And I guess that's the neat thing is that, you know, for a long time, that's how you use tobacco is that you smoked a pipe.
Right.
You did occasionally have folks that in the early days that chewed it and, you know, kind of almost like a snuff or, you know, chewing tobacco type of thing. But and you can't really talk about the history of pipe tobacco without really starting with the Native Americans. That's what's fascinating is that, you know, they had been doing this for hundreds and hundreds of years before the European settlers, you know, discovered, quote unquote, the New World and, you know, kind of moved in. And so and a lot of that was just for medicinal and ceremonial purposes. I mean, they did it sometimes, I think for pleasure, which we wouldn't blame them for at all. But
no, not in the slightest.
The great thing, I mean, they tended to mark treaties or, you know, great events in their tribe's life or culture, with smoking a pipe. And so that was just, you know, one of the things they did, kind of throw a marker down. We're gonna light up to and in their mind it was also kind of an offering to their creator, which is kind of interesting. And we
have burnt offerings.
Burnt offerings. Okay. That's right. So we like to refer to that pretty regularly today about smoking our pipe in a very reverent way. You know, but anyway, as we all know, like Columbus came and explored America, or, you know, discovered the New World from at least a European perspective in 1492. And what's interesting is, you know, the first credited European tobacco smoker came over on the Santa Maria.
Is that right?
That's right. So basically, I mean, you know, you had Columbus coming over on his maiden voyage, right, the Nina Pena de Santa Maria, 1492. We all know that story. They sailed the ocean blue.
There you go.
And they actually, when they went to the Bahamas, they bumped into these people, these natives that, you know, were in awe of them. And so they gave them these very important leaves as a gift. And they were tobacco leaves, and they had, you know,
really?
had a very interesting scent to them, but the Europeans didn't know what to do with them, so they eventually just threw them out.
Oh, man.
Which is crazy. In 1492, Rodrigo de Jerez, he was the first European that was credited as the tobacco smoker, and when they finally made it to Cuba after they were in the Bahamas, Jerez actually saw one of the natives drinking smoke from this leaf they were burning. Real fascinating, right?
Like token up, or
like, well, I mean, yeah, he was. I mean, he didn't know what to call pipe smoking, and so he.
I got you.
He didn't. He didn't know how to describe the art of someone burning a leaf and then inhaling it, you know. And so they, in his mind, they were drinking the smoke, and so Jerez is credited as being the first European smoker, which is pretty fascinating.
That's so interesting, because I never really thought about how you would describe the act of smoking.
Well, I mean, think about it. Yeah. No, I mean, if you're the first person that ever saw it, like, I mean, it's like you're drinking in these vapors or some kind of spirit. What was fascinating is when Jerez got back to Spain, he went back to his hometown, and he was actually imprisoned by the Spanish Inquisition because he was trying to spread smoking, and he was very open about his tobacco usage. And the Inquisition charged him because they said only the devil could give a man the power to exhale smoke from his mouth. And what's really terrible about poor Rodrigo... It was Diablo. It was coming out of his mouth. And what was terrible is that several years later, when they released him from prison, tobacco usage was really popular. So it's like he was in there for nothing. He was like the sacrificial lamb.
Man.
Poor dude.
Being an early adopter in what year was that?
That would have been late 1400s.
Okay, yeah. So early adopters in the 1400s were witches.
They were.
It's a witch!
And so, you know, eventually you had the Spanish and Portuguese were kind of the first that got involved with it, but Sir Walter Raleigh is the first guy that was credited as importing Virginia tobacco into Europe, which we kind of think of today as, you know, a traditional pipe tobacco, something that's blended real regularly to make, you know, some of the finest blends for the pipe.
So were the early pipes actually made out of briar? Or
they were clay pipes, yeah.
Okay, so
and that's my understanding is that most of them were actually clay pipes. Now, you had some, you know, even the Indians, I mean, they would use carved wood and, you know, different types of mud formations and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, clay, I think for the Europeans was pretty much universal. I'd love to be corrected on that if I'm incorrect. So please send in your feedback, but I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah.
Do you know when briar was?
Briar came about in the mid 19th century. So mid 1800s, that was when kind of the advent of the briar pipe came around. So it was a lot more durable. They could put these, you know, stems on them that would last longer. And it tended to smoke a lot cooler too. It's cooler to hold in your hand. So somehow they just figured out that the root of that heath tree kind of, you know, worked as far as burning the tobacco better. You know, every pipe smoker has heard of Sir Walter Raleigh tobacco, or at least kind of, you know, familiar with it. And anyone that's kind of a student of, like, you know, Renaissance Britain or Elizabethan Britain, they kind of, you know, have heard of Walter Raleigh. But he was kind of a peacock in, you know, late 1500s English society or whatever. He was really credited as making tobacco usage popular in England. And he was a favorite, quote unquote, of Elizabeth I, which most people think they had a little something going on. So, but it's interesting, you know, he was a favorite of Elizabeth I. And when James I, who was the king of Scotland, took over the English throne as well in 1603 when Elizabeth died, James and Walter Raleigh got in this kind of row. And what's interesting is they've recently found some documents where Raleigh was actually proposing that the Spanish come invade England again because he didn't have faith in James I and being the king.
Oh, wow.
Really interesting. Yeah. So they had suspicions of this at the time. So James I had Walter Raleigh executed. But the reason I'm even going down this thing at all is after they beheaded Walter Raleigh, they went back to his prison cell. And they found a bag of tobacco, and he had carved in this bag of tobacco a Latin phrase. It's I'm not good at speaking Latin.
Yeah.
It is a dead language, but it is comus meus fruit in illo miserrimo tempore. Boy, I butchered that. And that's Tuesday morning Latin for you.
There you go.
But in Latin, that means it was my companion at the most miserable time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's what he wrote on his tobacco satchel. So it's really, really funny. You know, and then after that, you know, tobacco is just really important in building America, as we all know.
Absolutely.
It had its dark phases, certainly. I mean, it's the reason the slave trade took off. And
right.
So, I mean, you've got to think, wow, what a pivotal and you know, frankly, terrible time in our nation's history. They needed laborers. It's a very labor-intensive work to do this, and it's a very hard work to do it. And so they, you know, frankly, just bought a bunch of slaves from African traders, and that's how we came to start the slave trade in America.
And tobacco became America's chief export, right?
It was our cash crop, and that's what's interesting. You know, in 1883, kind of at the height of the tobacco just importance for the American economy, one third of all U.S. government tax revenues came from tobacco excise taxes. Could you imagine today's American budget, one third of our budget modern day being just from excise tax on tobacco? I mean, it's just outrageous.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, really interesting. You know, and then, you know, so as tobacco got more popular and, you know, technology got better and everything, they started introducing new ways of using tobacco. Lots of different chew and snuff and things like that were kind of getting more popular. Matter of fact, what's interesting, at more kind of high society churches in the 19th century, it was not uncommon to see a spittoon built into the pew of the church.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, which is just bonkers to me. Like, if you can imagine that happening.
But, oh, wow.
You know, just real interesting. And, you know, eventually we kind of come to
We've got some clergymen that listen. I don't know. Maybe we might bring that back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should. We should, man. We should. I think that's about, you know, at our shop, that's probably about 40% of our customers are right reverends out there.
That's right.
But, yeah. And, you know, after that, as technology increased after the Civil War, it was easier to make things like cigarettes and that type of thing. And the tragedy of all of it, and as we know in America and, you know, most of the industrialized world this day and age, the modern cigarette around the 1950s, unbeknownst to a lot of us, you know, was actually started to be introduced with additives and chemicals and things like that,
right,
unknown to the greater population. And so
it really, you know, got away from what tobacco
it
was.
It did. And the tragedy of it is that pipes and cigars and snuff and other things, clean forms of tobacco that were just natural products, got lumped in with cigarettes and whatnot. And so today's modern cigarette warfare, which frankly is justified. I mean, cigarettes, you know, at least, you know, ones that are heavily laden with chemicals and additives, they're awful. We're very much against, and we've gotten a lot of people off of them and onto pipes. But, you know, that unfortunately has tainted the pipe and cigar world because the modern, you know, most of society just kind of lumps them all together.
Right.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
But that's the 30,000 foot view of the history of tobacco. So,
dude, that's awesome, man. The professor in the house, in the studio today.
Well, he's not a very good one.
Whatever, man. That was excellent. I believe myself and all of our listeners are very thankful for your knowledge, for being able to share that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week.
This comes from Mark Futato, and if I mispronounced your last name, I apologize. He writes, "Love the Country Squire podcast. I'm an OT prof at RTS Orlando." Hey, this is what we're talking
That's
about.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. OT, I'm assuming, means Old Testament.
That
yeah.
makes some sense. I've heard it said that your shop is a must if I am in Jackson. I am a cigar smoker learning to enjoy pipe smoking. I have a couple of Brigham pipes. Love the Rock Maple filter system, cool and dry. Just bought an inexpensive Churchwarden to experiment. Would buy a Brigham, but they don't make a Churchwarden. So the question is, on one of your shows, you mentioned the Savinelli cork system. Is there a Savinelli Churchwarden with a cork system?
Yeah, that's a great question by Mark. And Brigham pipes, you know, I'm not exactly as familiar with Brighams. That's not a real, I guess, asked for line in our tobacco shop. You know, but it may be in other areas. I'm just not real sure about the Brighams. But to answer his question about the Savinellis, they are very very popular, and they have their long full church wardens do not feature. It's actually a piece of balsa wood. It's their balsa insert system, and you poke a little piece of balsa wood in these 6mm hold pipe stems that they make, and the idea is the balsa soaks in the saliva and the fluid before it gets to the bowl, which tends to keep your pipe smoking cooler and drier, which is very desirable. So yeah, the full Savinelli Churchwardens do not have it. I tell you what you ought to look for though, Mark, is there's a Churchwarden. It's like a small Churchwarden made by Savinelli. It's called the Quandale, and I think you spell that Quandale or something like that. But it's a more small church warden. It tends to be a little more expensive. They tend to retail for anywhere between $120 and $140, I think. But the Quandale, it's like a petite church warden. They're really, really good looking. And they have the balsa insert system. So, it's a great alternative, you know, to the Brigham, the Brigham wood inserts. And I, you know, for those that like a wood insert pipe, I think it'd be a good fit. You know, it's interesting on my Savinellis, I actually, take the inserts out and put a little converter in there so I don't have to fool with them. But, most people that buy Savinellis, like them because of the balsa inserts. Yeah.
Yeah. Admittedly, I do the balsa insert myself.
Yeah. I think a lot of Savinelli smokers do. And I really do think there is a benefit to them. And I've enjoyed it the times I've used it. I think my deal is I'm just kind of lazy.
Well, thanks, Mark. That's a great question.
Thank you, Mark.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
All right, Quick Fire with the Squire. So we've got a few questions today. We want to remind our listeners you can actually send in questions for Quick Fire with the Squire by emailing csr@podastery.com. That's podastery.com. All right, JD, are you ready for your quick fire questions?
I'm ready, dude. Bring it.
All right, the first one is kind of a if you could rewrite history.
Ooh.
80s hair with 90s music or 90s hair with 80s music?
Ooh. Wow. 90s hair was really lame, but I like 80s music a lot. I'm going to have to go that route.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds good. Halo or Call of Duty?
Oh, Halo for sure. Yeah.
And RC Cola or Mr. Pibb?
The Pibb.
Really?
Got to go with the Pib.
You're wrong on that one, man.
Yeah, I mean, you can keep your Moon Pie and all that stuff, but I'm gonna and your RC Cola, but I'm gonna go with the Pib.
Can't hate on the RC. All right, man. What you got for me today?
Bo, Nintendo or Sega?
Oh, that's a good one.
These are like wars we fought over as children, man.
I know, man.
I mean, there were like big one-upsmanship questions going on like this back in the 90s.
I always wanted a Sega, but my grandparents had a Nintendo, so I'm going to go with Nintendo for nostalgia purposes.
Okay, okay. I was a Sonic the Hedgehog guy myself.
I love Sonic, yeah.
South Park or Family Guy?
Going to be Family Guy.
Family Guy?
Yeah.
Man, that's terrible.
I love South Park, but no, I got to go with early Family Guy.
Early Family Guy. Yeah. I agree with that to some extent.
Early Family Guy and late South Park.
Yeah, I know. Those were the glory years for both. I know. Yeah, that's the thing. Like the Family Guy at first was just a lot cleaner to me.
Absolutely.
Okay. For the Gardner in you, St. Augustine or Bermuda?
Augustine.
Augustine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I prefer it too. Actually, big blades of grass, baby.
There you go. All right. Good deal. Good questions. And again, you can send those in to csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
And we've got some great listener feedback today. We've got both an email and an iTunes. So on iTunes, Brett Jick, or J-I-C, I'm not sure if how you'd like me to pronounce that, but let's go with Brett Jick, put, good times, really enjoy listening to these guys, informative and fun. Sound almost as good as the store smells. Keep up the good work.
I do love the smell of a pipe shop. It is fun.
Brett, we appreciate that. We also got an email in from Keith, and it was actually more of a screenshot. We're going to share this. I hope that's all right, Keith. We're going to share the screenshot on our Facebook page. But he says, my thanks for a job well done. And on the screenshot, he shows a clip of the fact that our podcast is, of all of his podcasts, he is out of episodes because he's been listening to them so fast.
He's used them up. He even drew on there, like, where's the number showing me new podcasts? Because there isn't one, because I listen to them all. So, Keith, thanks for writing in. We appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. And don't forget, go to iTunes. Even if you get the podcast through other means, go to iTunes and search for Country Squire Radio. Leave us a review, and we would be more than happy to read that on the air. And also you can send in your feedback. Our contact information is csr@podastery.com. Also on Twitter,
it's @_CountrySquire.
And on Facebook, if you'll just search for Country Squire Radio, you'll find the Facebook page and, you know, brand new. Like we said at the top of the show, don't forget we got that contest going on. So,
what an awesome book.
We'll be looking for those likes rolling in. All right, JD, anything else for the people today?
Man, I enjoyed it. You know, it's getting cooler. I'm about to switch over to my smoky English blends and Latakia and Perique. And man, I'm fired up. I'm about to go burn my tongue up today.
All right, man. Sounds good. Well, y'all have a good one.
See you, Bo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big.